must never take her back. Those are the words of Jeremiah.
And what are the words of my Lord Jehoiakim?
My words know itself. Simply this. Return. Return. I will not reproach you. Even though it defies the word of God, I will love you and you will be my wife.
Almost you make me feel a genuine emotion. The only possible emotion which is truly human. Contempt. But you're not even worth contempt. Zedekiah! You do not remember the last line of that oracle of Jeremiah? That man shall seek to take her back, then even he shall be polluted.
I pity her, Zedekiah. It will not go easy for her, and she will not be spared.
Stop, Jehoiakim. You can't speak of pity. She has deceived you, and I have stolen your throne. Be angry, Jehoiakim, and curse her.
You have already cursed yourselves, and the full wrath of God is about to fall upon you. Don't you realize what is happening?
I only realize, Jehoiakim, that we have destroyed you. You are dead.
No, Zedekiah. I have only begun to live. And I pity both you and the witcher, because you have not yet begun to die.
Death. It's always the fatherless they abuse.
Poor Jeremiah. Now there's no one left but us to help.
But we won't forsake him. Even if God abandons him, we'll stay by his side. Blessed is the man whom you chastise, O Lord. Give him patience in time of adversity until his pit is very deep. Jeremiah, we'll make you comfortable.
Robert, you have abused us too long.
Too long, prophet. You have abused us too long.
You have blasphemed the temple, denounced the treaty with Babylon. God has piled your sins up against you, and he will show you no mercy.
I have asked no mercy from a murderer.
You still dare to speak? Are you still so bold? With justice, Jeremiah. With the justice of God, you've been condemned. queen herself will witness your execution.
I shall enjoy that, Hananiah. It will be a great pleasure to stand before the great whore herself.
You won't stand. You'll fall, and you'll lick the ground beneath her feet, and God himself will laugh with justice. Now understand, beggars. Man is to be given no food and no water. I want him left here on public exhibition before the temple until he dies. Is that clear?
No food and no water, it's clear.
He's to be exposed until he dies, it is clear.
Jeremiah, I leave you to the companionship of fools.
Well, Jeremiah, how do you like the justice of God?
Loosen his gates.
There's no need to loosen them.
Yes, they must be loosened, Jeremiah. He wants you to listen.
Besides, we can't stand the sight of suffering men so close to the temple.
We all hate to see anyone
quiet.
Suffer.
So you see, Jeremiah, we are merciful even if God
quiet.
Is not.
He wants you to listen, Jeremiah. We have a story to tell you.
A true story, Jeremiah. You will remember it.
When I was in my youth, in the days of King Josiah, I saw a proud young prophet stand. Before the great God himself, he stood in glory. And this is what God said. Before you were born, I knew you. I consecrated you and your mother's womb. And I assigned you as a prophet to all the nations. But the prophet was really a humble man. Before the glory of God, he bowed himself down and said,
O Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a child.
God, in his great impotent glory, spoke to that man. Do not say I am only a child, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid, for I am with you to deliver you. You shall pluck up and break down, destroy and overthrow, build and plant.
And behold, this day I make you a fortified city.
An iron pillar.
A bronze wall against all the land.
Well, Jeremiah, what do you think of the word of God
an
now?
An iron pillar, a bronze wall.
If you prevail against him, you're still tormenting him. Leave him.
He is a condemned man.
My Lord High Priest, we do not abuse. We merely encourage.
We were merely recalling the days of his youth.
We were encouraging and strengthening him as God has promised.
Jeremiah needs no encouragement from you. Go and pray for God to have mercy on your sins.
That we shall do. We always pray for mercy for this city, for our queen, and for our priest.
For Jeremiah. We even pray for Jeremiah.
Remember, Jeremiah. Remember the justice of God.
You see, Jeremiah, I still do what I can do on your behalf. But you have made it very difficult, and I fear that even I cannot spare you now.
I have not asked help from the temple.
You should not have cursed the temple. It was the sole chance for your salvation.
The temple. The temple has been abandoned.
By whom, Jeremiah?
By God. God has fled the temple.
No, Jeremiah. You have fled the house of God.
The house of God has been polluted. It is the plaything of Queen Nehushta and the slave house of Babylon. Your temple is about to fall. Already the walls totter. There is no prayer, no sacrifice that can cleanse the whorehouse of Judah.
Jeremiah, do you think this is the first time the freedom of Israel has been compromised? Do you think this is the first time the throne has been usurped and a whore has reigned on the seat of David?
God has rejected the house of David. He has counted up the deeds of Judah and has fled in horror.
Jeremiah, are you so naive? Do you think there is any sin which can drive us from the love of God? If our offense is great,
The mercy of God is always greater.
God has deserted Israel. They are no longer his people.
No, God does not desert anyone. Do you think God is so human that he would abandon what he once chose? No, Jeremiah, God is far above the deeds of men God cannot hate. Don't you remember the word which God spoke to our father, King David? I will raise up your offspring after you and establish your house forever. When you commit iniquity, I will chasten you with the rods of men, but I will not take away my steadfast love, and your house will endure forever. Like a father, God may rebuke. He may chastise, but he will never, never destroy. Do you hear me, Jeremiah, or do you shut up your ears? I am trying to tell you how you have left the word of God and why you must be condemned. The temple, the glory of God, the throne of his power. Can the deeds of men deprive God of his glory? No. The temple will stand, and it will stand as it has always stood, because of the merciful, loving kindness of its builder.
Am I not your faithful son? In all Israel, is there another who has spoken your word? Oh God, I did not want to speak. Did I choose to be a prophet? Did I insist? Oh, I will not judge the God of heaven. Before the high and holy one, what man has any right to speak? Who dares complain? Who can beg for mercy? If I ask you for mercy, no! All I ask is that you bring down your word. Strip down your people, your chosen bride. Scratch out the eyes of Queen Nehushta and bring the full fury of Babylon on Judah. Oh, let the people mourn. Let them wail and gird themselves in sackcloth. Let them roll in the ashes of the temple. Isn't that what you want? Do I not speak your word? Then show me these things. People, the princes and the priests, prove my word.
Oh God, my bowels dry up within me. There is no longer anyone to hear. Curse them, God. Do not let me die before I see your anger.
Prophet, I beg you not to curse the boy. He is hungry and does not always know what he is doing.
He will get no food from God.
You're angry. Why are you so angry? My hands are gentle, and they are a woman's hands. And you've never let a woman's hands correct
you. Don't touch me, whore.
It does not matter what I am, Jeremiah. If you are a prophet of the Lord, and you must speak the word of God.
The seat of God among all men. Thus God has required a seat on earth. How do you think? dedicated in the fourth year of our 18th column. Stands today in the snow den, 60 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high.
That's almost half as big as one of our temples.
Not that, Your Honor. We do not have to see this tradition as real as possible.
That must be a great advantage for you, my lord.
Not at all. What this is the color and atmosphere of religion. Religion provides great moral support for the people. I'm sure that in your own country, Your Honor, the moral standards are considerably higher than our own. Would you agree?
You're very generous, fellow.
Now, here's an interesting sight. Is this man engaged in some ritual devotion? May I step closer? This man is being punished and has been exposed to dogs in the open here.
Yes, with no food or water.
That seems very vindictive. In Babylon, our laws are not so harsh. What's his crime?
Slander, my lord.
And blasphemy.
And incorrect.
All three? Well, he's quite a rascal. Hey, my lord, my friend. He is a prophet of God.
A prophet?
That seems a very hard way to treat one who speaks the word of God. Tell me, how does one make one of your prophets speak? I would like to hear how your God talks.
But he is a false prophet.
He no longer speaks the word of God.
It appears he no longer speaks at all.
No, my lord. I do not wish to hear him speak. His mouth is full of curses.
That easily happens, Hananiah, when one's mouth is deprived of food.
Gentlemen, your God is stirring.
My lord, announce the treaty. Does not speak well of Babylon.
Babylon does not fear the word of your God. I will address the man himself.
Tell me the prophet's name.
He is called Jeremiah, my lord. Jeremiah. Jeremiah. Do not be afraid. Babylon itself has come to you and invites you to speak.
Go ahead. Speak, Jeremiah. Entertain the great lord of Babylon.
No, I do not wish him struck. I would suggest, gentlemen, that this man has been badly treated.
But he is guilty, my lord. Regardless of the cause, it is not the policy of Babylon to keep imprisoned men. I would suggest that your legal code needs a bit of enlightened reconsideration.
But my lord,
the man is guilty. He deserves to die.
In this fashion, my lord, the manner of execution was decreed by the throne. It was the personal decision of the queen and witness.
If the throne decreed it, then the throne can now demand it. Zedekiah, does not the king rule the queen in Israel?
Yes, my lord. In Israel, the king does rule. And he has the right to reconsider. You yourself may choose the manner of his execution.
Oh, Babylon never interferes in the affairs of other nations. In this case, however, I think it might be better if the man did not die at all.
But my lord, he
has
slandered.
He has blasphemed the temple. And what does the king say?
I say his fate lies in the hands of Babylon.
My lord, hear the ruling of Babylon. The prophet shall be spared. But since he seems so unwanted in Judah, he shall return with me to Babylon. This seems a satisfactory proposal. Is it not fair?
Of course. What can Babylon make use of Jeremiah?
Oh, Zedekiah, Babylon has a very great need for a man of Jeremiah's deal. When a nation becomes as great and powerful as Babylon, there are many who become quite heedless of religion. When one loses religion, one loses the value of something.
My lord, we will be evil against Babylon.
And that's just what we need. Someone to denounce and harass proud, irreligious Babylon. Will be quite good for us, I assure you. Well, release him. Don't prolong the prophet's agony. My lord Zedekiah,
if it pleases Babylon, then it pleases Judah to release the prophet.
You realize, Zedekiah, how this will affect
your actions, my lord Zedekiah, is a token of good faith in Babylon, a wise and well-considered gesture. Do you not agree, my lord high priest?
It is never good to kill a prophet.
And I
you may release
of the queen. Hananiah, do not resist the will of your own king. Release him from his bonds. Mercy is always wise. Is this not true, my lord high priest?
Prophets should be judged by God.
And in my opinion, it's never wise to use the law for personal satisfaction. This is the most intelligent course. Now, you must precede me to the palace. I will join you quickly. Jeremiah, I hope you have observed carefully the ways of Babylon. Do they seem particularly oppressive?
I have not asked for mercy from the enemy.
Then you ought to be grateful for what you did not ask. You see, Babylon is generous, even to its enemies.
Babylon itself is the enemy.
Jeremiah, I am no enemy.
That is not my desire. You will destroy
it. I assure you that
and your sword will be the sword of my God.
I assure you that God can swing his own sword. It is peace which is the desire of Babylon, and it is peace which is the desire of your own people, Judah.
Let Judah desire peace. Let Babylon desire peace. And it makes no difference. Because God desires war.
It's very hard to love your God of war.
It is impossible to love my God. Because he is holy and very high above the earth. Before him, everything must fall. Judah must fall because she has not loved her God.
That's no affair of Babylon. That's between Judah and the God.
You must destroy us.
In my opinion, your God expects too much. No wonder he's in an uproar all the time.
But he has loved her faithfully. He has not offended. Why did she not love and obey him?
Because your people are like the rest of us. Your people are not God, and they cannot love as your God loves.
But all he asked was that she give up her cruelties and stop her deceit. Is that so much from men?
That's impossible. In Babylon, we have a far more sensible approach. We don't require holiness of men. We get along quite well without the word of God. At heart, I'm not a religious man, and I find it very difficult to understand how your God can demand what he must know is impossible for men to do. Jeremiah, are these the words of an enemy?
I'm tired. I have no food to eat.
All your people are tired and hungry. In Babylon, they would eat and rest. Perhaps all your people could come to Babylon. There they would find their true enemy.
I am not afraid of Babylon. Before the high and holy God, Babylon would fall.
Oh, Jeremiah, take the word of God to Babylon. May he receive you with all the scorn you deserve.
Do not mock the prophet. I have seen him go to Babylon. That he will rest, grow strong again, and speak the word of God.
Is this a contradiction?
You're the one who's dead. The one who called herself Judah.
I am no longer Judah. I am Judah. And Judah has found a new love.
Who is this new love?
It is the word of God. The word of God of faith. The word of God returns, and he shall not be spared.
Lord of the prophets, take the word of God to Jeremiah. Take your love to him. He needs your kind of love. Embrace it.
Protect it.
Do not laugh at him.
Still clings to the word of God.
That is unfortunate, my friend. Only we were free from it.
We could do so many things for ourselves. We were free from that great pillar of fire that blinds us and thunders at us from the cloud. Judah is free. Judah shall rule the world.
All the fathers gather round us, pointing their fingers and exhorting us to cling to God. Keep his commandments and Judah shall be free. Shall I tell you a secret? All the fathers are dead.
You and I are the only ones alive. That is why we must pamper and appease great Babylon. That is why we must spare the prophet. I know you understand me. When I speak to you, I am speaking as one wise man speaks to another.
My lord, Queen of Judah wishes to address you.
Then let the Queen of Judah approach. We are not a rich nation, and we must learn the expense of peace.
My lord, your brother patiently awaits you at the gate. Before he leaves for Babylon, he has some final message of encouragement.
That brother still waits for me, then I shall go to him. I told the queen that you would bring Jeremiah.
Queen, how satisfied? No, Zedekiah, I am not satisfied. It does not please me to see our new ally meddling in the affairs of Judah.
No difference, Mushta. The Babylonians found the prophets amusing, and we cannot afford to hear him in Babylon.
Zedekiah, that I myself could do with Jeremiah as I please.
You don't realize, Mushta, that you have such a close attachment to Jeremiah.
Nothing personal between us.
I cannot feel that we spare him. By getting him to Babylon, we have rid him from our country, and we have accomplished our purpose without the unpleasantness of death.
And what happens, my lord, when Jeremiah returns?
What happens, Zedekiah, when Babylon sends Jeremiah back with a new word of God, which Babylon itself has devised for him?
Are you suggesting that Jeremiah would ever become the servant of Babylon?
We are suggesting that Jeremiah would do anything possible to humiliate this nation.
You will see, Zedekiah, when Jeremiah returns from Babylon.
I do not share this anxiety, Mushta. You must understand. I have no love for the prophet, but I do not believe him yet without necessity. Now, I've made myself quite clear. I will go speak a final word with my brother. See you, Hananiah.
Zedekiah, are you abandoning your companion here?
Yes. I leave him with you to counsel you in the ways of
that child. Always that same child. Hananiah.
Who is it, Nehushta?
Don't let him touch me, Hananiah.
Who is it, Nehushta?
Just a beggar. One of Zedekiah's fellow companions.
Beggar. He treated viciously.
Shouldn't be fair.
Hananiah, don't kill him.
Some passion, Nehushta.
No, Hananiah. No compassion. Compassion does not suit the throne of David. In this respect, we have much to teach the new king of Judah.
Zedekiah is not a spirit of father.
Let me speak very independently, my lord. I like his new strength in you. Leave him alone. He will not trouble us again.
You deceived me, God, and I was deceived. The righteous do not flourish. The proud do not fall. It is the poor who die young. Yet you say you are faithful. You say you are righteous. You enticed, you seduced, and you overpowered me. You, O Lord High God, are a lie, and all your words are nothing but lies. And I will not speak them again. I will not say your name anymore. I will shut my mouth. I will not speak it again. And when your word leaps in my inward parts and consumes my bowels, I shall force it back. I shall kill it. I shall not speak it again.
We know what's going to happen. It's no secret.
We don't like it any better than you.
What are you going to do? It's the word of God, and you can't change that. Just like Jeremiah said, the Babylonian came in not like an ally, but like a victor. So now we're eating ducks under Babylon's heel. Just like Jeremiah said. But what does the prophet do?
I'll tell you what the prophet does.
He picks himself up and runs off to eat and drink in Babylon.
Some prophet. And I'm hungry.
So now there's a famine in the land.
Well, what do you think of that? The wells are dried up and there's nothing left to drink. Just like Jeremiah.
God certainly cares for his own.
Why is God taking our food and water?
Because we're being punished. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever.
It was the king's fault and the queen's.
For what?
Well, they're the ones to blame, not us.
It's always the poor who suffer in the end.
Always the harmless poor.
Nobody's innocent, idiot. Come on. Let's begin.
Begin what?
The only thing that's left to begin. No, not that. I mean, repent. Repent. That's what Jeremiah told us to do, isn't it? Doesn't anyone ever pay any attention? Would anyone care to join us in the napkin sincere?
Before you, O Lord, we acknowledge our sin. Against you and you only have we sinned and done evil in your sight.
We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers.
Have mercy upon us, O Lord, after thy great goodness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my misdeeds.
Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us.
Turn thy face from my sin and blot out all my misdeeds.
This is humiliating.
Parker!
Do not trouble yourself with praying.
But we are begging for forgiveness.
The time for forgiveness passed long ago. God is tired, and he will not turn.
Baruch, where is Jeremiah?
In Babylon, where you and the others have driven him.
When will he return?
When Jeremiah returns, if he returns at all, there will be no mercy on his lips. Can the leopard change his spots? No. The sin of Israel is engraved with an iron pen and a diamond point. This is the fixed, unchanging message of Jeremiah.
But will there be no day of mercy? Surely God will still forgive if we repent.
The days of mercy, my Lord High Priest, passed long ago. God is tired of chastisement. He is tired of forgiveness, and he will not turn. You know the words of Jeremiah. I have forsaken my beloved. I have abandoned my house. And I have surrendered her into the hands of her enemies.
Are these lessons in despair, Baruch? Still seeking refuge in the old way?
Well, forgive us, my Lord Hananiah, if we are slightly disappointed in your new way.
It was you, Hananiah, who first advocated this treaty with Babylon.
Where is the wisdom, the wealth, the ark of Babylon?
There he is, the murderer!
There, stand here before the temple.
Yes, go back to the palace with your horn of Ushta and celebrate the treaty with drunken Zedekiah.
Move the war!
Here's the boy, you fool! Here, I got presents! Protect the queen, I swore him.
Ah, the wisdom, the art of
Babylon. Is it my fault that Babylon deceived us?
You might have learned from the old way. In our father's day, in the days of good King Josiah.
I've heard enough about King Josiah. So now at last, the new day has finally dawned.
The new day, Baruch, has always been within our grasp. We would dare to seize it with our own hands.
He knew the boy! Suggesting that we rebel.
I am suggesting, my Lord High Priest. Rise up. seize our freedom. Is that not the old way? Is that not the way of King Josiah?
Josiah died fighting
for
the freedom of Israel.
And many more will die like him.
Well, this has always been the way. The word of God. The world belongs to violent men.
You dare invoke the word of God?
Yes, Padre. God still speaks in Israel. The temple is his glory. In your own temple we shall yet find strength to overthrow the enemy. Thus says the Lord.
God has forsaken his temple and Judah shall fall.
God has forsaken the temple and he shall return. Shall return when Judah stirs up her face with the blood of Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts.
You're a violent man, Hananiah. You have shown great discretion in your flight.
When one hears the word of God invoked, one knows there must be a strife among the sons of men. And when there is a strife among the sons of men, it is time for Babylon to intervene. Gentlemen, Babylon is here.
My lord is Babylon. I have come quickly and I am tired from the journey. Is there no one to give Babylon a proper welcome?
We have no food.
We need water.
Give us some water.
Your condition. Are you surprised that we do not welcome you?
No, I'm not surprised. In fact, that's why I've come. I understand, gentlemen, that the sun has burned a little brightly in Israel, and that the crops have failed and the wells have all dried up. Am I correct? It is unfortunate that Judah made no preparation for such a calamity.
The water which we stored for such an occasion has been taken from us, according to the treaty, I'm sure.
No, my lord, not according to the treaty. I sense a vague hostility, gentlemen, but you must understand that when little Judah became a member of the great Babylonian family of nations, she assumed certain obligations toward her neighbors. Is this not just?
What about our food?
We need water.
Is it not possible that the great Babylonian family of nations has some obligations to little Judah?
Indeed she does, and that's exactly why I'm here. The Babylonian advisors and technicians have devised plans. Plans for the renewal and regeneration of little Judah.
What plans, my lord ambassador?
Oh, they'll be of great interest to you, my lord high priest. Especially to you.
What are these plans?
The details are not a matter to be discussed here in the open and before the common folk. But come, my lord high priest. You will accompany me to the palace and there everything will be made clear. Gentlemen, soon there will be abundance in the land. Your God will pour down his rain again. In the meantime, I've returned your prophet, Jeremiah, to you. He was never very happy in Babylon. And there wasn't much we could do to help him. Be kind to him, gentlemen, for he is a very sick man. Come, Jeremiah, don't be shy.
I think so much before you, O men of Israel. Why do you draw back and shudder? Tell me. Tell me. A new day is within your grasp. Why do you not hoot and laugh at me?
What is it, Jeremiah?
It's the word of God, Baruch. Do not misunderstand. When I first went to Babylon, I rested and was well clothed. In Babylon, there is water and enough to eat. They gave me this. Do you know what it is, Boo? A linen cloth, which I wore around my hip. It's still very soft. Touch it, Boo.
What happened?
With this word of God, God consumed my bowels. The word of God consumed me. I shut my mouth and declared my silence, and it burned my tongue and seared my throat.
What is it? What is the word of God?
God said, like a linen cloth, I have made my people cling to me. I have bound Israel to my loins. And now I have cast them off in Babylon. And then God said, now, Jeremiah, take off that linen cloth and dig for it a hole by the great river of Babylon. By the great Euphrates, I buried it.
and it stinks, and it must be thrown away. Just like Judah, it must be thrown away. This is the word of God. Does the word of God offend you? Does it stink in your nostrils? Then go. Go and lie by the great river of Babylon. There you can eat. There you can drink. There you can lie down and die.
Not exactly what we had in mind.
But it'll do. It'll do.
It's very becoming on me, don't you think? The word of God becomes...
Idiot! But in a way, it's very reassuring.
Yes, one wouldn't want to think that the word of God could ever change.
Thank you, Jeremiah. Thank you. Occasionally, we all need to be reminded where we stand before the high and exalted God.
It's very inspiring.
Now we can stop those damn unending prayers for what? Rise up and act!
Jeremiah, why do you cover yourself in filth? You must clean yourself and prepare to speak before the king.
Keep away from him, woman. He does not need you.
Come, Jeremiah. You must speak the word of God more boldly than before.
There is no more word of God.
Throw it away. It is ruined.
Exactly. It is the word of God.
If it is the word of God, then God will weave a new one.
Woman, do you imagine that a new word of God can be woven by your art and imagination?
Will be hard, but I know there is a new word.
Where do you find such hope? Where do you find such assurance?
In the sky. There, haven't you seen? Now up, up. This is no time for weariness. You preach a new word.
Jeremiah, there is no new word.
Does that please you, Baruch? Does that please you very much? Leave me, both of you.
Listen, my lord. Can you not hear the thunder? It's still very, very far away. But soon there will be rain. And water for the people of God.
With my mouth, I said I would speak no more. But you forced me to speak. You are very strong, and it wasn't hard for you to push me deep into the pit and cover me with slime. And now your people will be annihilated, and it doesn't make any difference to you. Your house will be broken down, your heritage uprooted, and it doesn't matter to you.
Jeremiah, you have taught me to love the word of God. Be merciless, Jeremiah.
I know. Scratch out the eyes of the king. I will obey. Do not spare your people. His wrath must be acted out, and I will not resist. But you must understand, Baruch, that I hate the word of God.
Amen. not dishonor your glory.
The opportunity we have sought. When the ambassador arrives, we shall rise up. Seize our freedom from the hands of Babylon.
We? Who is we?
At first, we thought of including you on our plans, Zedekiah. But it's not necessary. If you wish, we will act without you.
Do you think little Judah could stand before a great Babylon?
Not as long as you are king.
Don't try to steal the throne yourself.
Are you threatening me, Zedekiah, just as you did the prophet Jeremiah? I have not forgiven you for your deeds of mercy to him.
Hananiah,
how would you like to take my place? There was a time when I stood where you now stand, and my brother said to me,
Zedekiah,
how would you like to play this game? Notice how carefully you chose that term? Play.
You have no idea what close and loving ties unite one brother with another. And when one of them dies, the other one can't live with himself. Isn't that true, Zedekiah?
Don't touch me.
It broke his heart, Hananiah. It really did. It broke Zedekiah's heart to usurp his brother's throne. He was so crushed, in fact, that he couldn't finish the task. Ananias, you know it was I who had to kill his brother. Jehoiakim never did go to Babylon. I had to kill my own husband for him, and he's never been quite sober since then. No, Lucky is so evil. She must take the blame for everything. She drove little Zedekiah to the throne and convinced him he was strong enough to take it.
Betrayed me.
If I have betrayed you, Zedekiah, it's only because you have betrayed me. No, push, Zedekiah said. No, I shall never weary
you.
I'm telling you, Zedekiah, what I have often told you before. I tolerate no weakness. Did Zedekiah break his bottle? How bold you are. Ananias, get another bottle. The Babylonian ambassador is here, and Zedekiah must prepare to act.
I don't need
you. Yes, Lord, reward them as they rewarded us.
Blessed is the man who takes up your little ones and smashes them against the rock.
Violence, everywhere one goes in Israel, there is always violence.
Violence, you misunderstand. It was merely a bottle which was accidentally dropped.
In times of drought, good Queen Nehushta, one ought to be less careless with the wine.
Oh, but the king insists. He still has the right to smash a bottle if it suits his fancy. No matter. Hananiah was going to get another.
That won't be necessary.
Perhaps my lord ambassador would like to share in the king's drink?
In times of crisis, Babylon prefers to keep a clear head. Greetings, my lord Zedekiah, king of Israel, son of David. From great Babylon, mother of all nations, et cetera, et cetera. and hear of strife, famine, and drought from her daughter Judah.
The Lord is very generous. Peace to you, my Lord Ambassador.
I have asked the Lord Pastor to accompany me so that together we might arrive at the conclusion concerning the fate of our alliance, which in view of the recent disasters and calamities seems to be under some strain.
Our resources of food and water have been taken from us.
As I told the Lord Pastor, in view of the recent developments, the Babylonian advisors and technicians have come to the conclusion and made plans for the aid and renewal of little Judah.
Israel is very grateful for the concern of Babylon.
The Babylonian advisors and technicians have come to the conclusion that the situation in Judah is, as a matter of fact, hopeless.
Hopeless, my lord?
Yes, the situation.
According to your technicians, what makes the present state so hopeless?
It seems that God has not blessed your land. Even if certain foodstuffs and supplies were brought from Great Babylon, they would not begin to meet the needs of your people. In addition, there is a military aspect to our decision.
What is the point, my lord? What is the conclusion of your experts?
Babylon is very generous.
It is obvious, my lord, that you are trying the patience of the king. If you have a proposal to make, then make it.
I have in my hand a detailed plan for the evacuation of Israel. With full honor and high respect, Babylon proposes to transport the entire nation of Judah to Babylon.
Trust our enemy.
With full honor and high respect.
Oh, Babylon deserves all the honor and high respect.
Babylon is grateful for your generosity, Zedekiah. But there seems to be a certain element of rebel-mindedness among the people.
We must not forget the people.
Let me explain. Next month, at the first of the month, the first detachment will leave for Babylon. Thereafter,
no,
on a regular
Lord,
basis,
Judah can never be evacuated.
Lord God, fortify your people.
It's all been carefully calculated. There's no dishonor in evacuation.
Strengthen our hands!
The temple, my lord, the
next
temple is
month,
in Jerusalem.
At the beginning of the month.
We cannot give up the temple.
Do not
forsake the temple. Let your glory break forth.
And the power of your name.
You keep quiet.
No, my lord. We will not go to Babylon. And if you wish, you may take this as an act of open defiance.
Before you speak so rashly, I beg you to consider the mouths and empty stomachs of your people.
We will not go to Babylon!
Listen, my lord, to the mouths of our people.
This is our land!
Our temple!
We will not leave our God!
Thus says the Lord, I will break the yoke of Babylon.
No more shall Judah lie at the feet of Babylon.
Lord shall defend it.
Thus says the Lord of hosts.
You are a poor people, and I have tried to help you. Your land is poor. You have no art and no wealth and no intelligence, and still you will not listen to common sense. Very well. Since you are religious people, I will give you the one authentic word of God. Jeremiah, prophet of the Lord,
what does God say concerning the yoke of Babylon?
That was remarkable, isn't it? How quickly and how clearly the word of God comes.
God has seen, my Lord. God has seen the great power and wealth of Babylon, and he has been astonished. See how quickly he has submitted to the yoke of Babylon. Prophet, you are the one true Son of God. You endure all suffering, and you bear every humiliation, and there's no end to your resignation. At last I have found the true man of God.
This man is no prophet.
He does not speak for Israel.
He not only speaks for Israel, he is Israel. Jeremiah has shown me the true character of Israel. Israel is no land. It is no tradition. It has no people. Israel is a way of suffering. And see how eagerly he suffers. In all Israel, there is nothing else of value.
Jeremiah, you have abused us too long.
In the name of God, get up. Haven't we endured enough?
You have made a mockery out of Judah.
Don't abuse us anymore.
That yoke is iron and it cannot be broken. If you try, your people, your God, and your prophet will be destroyed.